We'll be in 2 John chapter 1. And this is a short section here, just a brief chapter, so I'll read the whole chapter in 2 John chapter 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ cometh in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any among you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect lady, elect sister, greet thee. Amen. Shall we bow together in prayer? Loving Father, we thank you for your word this afternoon, and pray as we think on these things and meditate on these things and consider what has been written, we pray, Lord, that you will, in your divine providence, minister to our hearts those things that we need, that we might be encouraged and edified in faith and instructed in the way of righteousness. And we ask your blessing, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This afternoon we're going to be looking at this passage along the theme of the elect lady and her children. In view of Mother's Day, I thought I would try to find another passage that had to do with mothers. And here we find this more or less personal epistle that was written to, to this lady and her children. Is, of course, a situation wherein there was probably a church home where John had been somewhat acquainted with this lady. And traditionally, the view is that she might have been a deaconess in the church, and John was probably acquainted with her and, of course, knew her and knew of her children, her family, as it were. And as they were frequent to have church meetings in homes, it may have been that John did visit this lady quite often, and so writes her to bring certain blessing to her and reminders to her of the need to stand for the truth. And he had no doubt probably heard about certain things that were going on, and so wanted to bring some instruction to her and to her family. And we are reminded today, of course, that mothers are important to families. As we look this morning in Timothy concerning the grandmother Lois and the mother Eunice of young Timothy, and of their part in raising up young Timothy, we find that there are women in the Bible which have been pointed out as being very instrumental in raising up and nurturing of their children in the things of the Lord. And so the second epistle of John has within its salutation, of course, occasion some things that may speak to us as well. Certainly the word truth is a key word in this brief chapter. It is perhaps the most important word that we see in this brief chapter, as truth is something, as it is related to the Word of God, indicates that doctrine or teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, wherein is life eternal. As Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." We know that Jesus Christ is the living Word and the truth of God, that He came into the world and He came to save sinners. He came to redeem the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so He presented the kingdom of God unto Israel at first. And then, of course, because of the rejection of that kingdom, He did also present the gospel to others, even Gentiles. And we know that because of the cross of Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, this great plan of redemption, of bringing grace unto the world, even Jesus, who is the light of the world, we find that the gospel has spread abroad throughout the whole earth and is that message that should lead all men to Christ. The truth of the Word of God then is key to this brief writing, a brief epistle here. In verses 1 through 3, the apostle addresses a Christian mother and her children. She is a Christian mother, as we know that the whole tenor of the chapter relates to that very fact, and the subject matter speaks to the truth that is in Jesus Christ. And so she is a Christian, and her children have been presented this truth. Verse 1, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth." And so, as I said, the word truth is a very key word here. When we come to the Word of God, we read it as the truth. It is the absolute truth. We believe it is the absolute truth. It's not a relative truth. It's not a changing truth. It's something that remains true and constant. It is the Word of God. And so I trust that each of us take it very seriously when we read the Scripture and when we take it to our lives, that we might live the truth. And so John writes to, as an elder, and the word elder, of course, is the same word, presbyteros. It can be used in this sense as elder person. John was probably late in life at this time. Around 90 to 95 A.D. is the suggested writing of the book. And so John himself was probably about that age, 90 years old. And so, of course, concerning John, it is believed that he died of natural causes, not of martyrdom. And so he had been exiled to the Isle of Patmos. He eventually was released from that island and returned to the mainland and continued in the preaching of the truth. And so he writes as an elder individual to an elect lady. And this idea of the elect lady, of course, is one who is of particular character as a Christian and perhaps even a deaconess in the church. As some of that is speculative, but she was of some particular prominence, as John had this connection with her. "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth." Whom I love in the truth. And so there is a certain endearment that we recognize to those that have the truth. That is, that they continue in the truth. And so John loved her in the truth. He loved her and the children according to the truth of the Word of God. I trust that you love other believers who are also in the truth of the Word of God. And so I trust that you have an endearment to them. And maybe you have someone in particular that you write to, that you keep in contact with. And maybe you express some of your particular beliefs to that person that you write to because you have that strong biblical Christian connection to them in the Word of God. And I think that's important that we do have people that we connect with on that level. Says in verse 2, it says, "For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever." So it's not only that she was in the truth and had raised her children in the truth, but John says, for the truth's sake, for this very subject which we are talking about of Christ and redemption, of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the truth of the embodiment of the gospel in the very Word of God, for the truth's sake. Why are we doing what we do as Christians? Why do we come to this place to worship? Why are we involved in ministry? Is it not for the truth's sake? Why do we keep close connections with one another? Is it not also for the truth's sake? That is, for the sake of the gospel of Christ and for that truth which we know and love. You see, we do come together for that very reason. And why do we preach the very word of God, but for the truth's sake? Why do we contend for the faith, but for the truth's sake? Why do we have fellowship in Christ except for the truth's sake? So there is much that hangs upon this whole concept of truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Christ in you, the hope of glory, and shall be with us or with you forever. It shall be with us forever. This truth is, of course, a truth which is an abiding truth. It's going to be with us forever. It is that eternal truth. It does not change with time. We live in a day and age when people think that that somehow truth is changing, that it's relative. What was right for my mother and my grandfather and their predecessors was different than it is for me in the Word of God. Many believe that it is different, but that isn't what the Word of God says. God said that His Word shall never fail. He is the Alpha and the Omega of truth. And it is this abiding truth that dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. And of course, in verse 3, he goes on to say that all these things we receive in truth and love. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. So just in these three verses, we find truth being mentioned several times. In the first verse, the word truth is mentioned twice. In the second verse, the word truth is mentioned once and implied at least twice. In the third verse, the word truth is mentioned again. So just in those three verses, we find the word truth being used several times, impressing upon us that this is a very important part of his introductory comments to this elect lady, this very important person, perhaps having a house church in her home, one that he is very well acquainted with and knows quite well. Perhaps he has been in communication with her much more than what this epistle indicates, and that he wants to convey his comments of encouragement and edification unto her. Secondly, John rejoices that some of her family love the truth and exhorts them to continue in that love. And so we see in verses 4 through 6, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. And so there is a pathway of truth, a walking in truth that needs to be adhered to. And John seems to be encouraging this elect lady and her family to continue to walk in the truth of the Word of God. If you have children, I'm sure that you want them to walk in the truth. And when you speak to them about walking in the truth, or when you talk to others about walking in the truth, I'm sure you don't mean that you're talking about the Webster's Dictionary, or you're talking about the Reader's Digest, or you're talking about the Encyclopedia Britannica, or some other book. No, you're talking about the truth of the Word of God. That is what you're talking about. And we want our children to walk in the truth. And all those who love the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be walking in the truth. And certainly those who have been given the responsibility of preaching and teaching the Word of God want others to walk in the truth, even as they preach the truth of the Word of God. And John says here in verse 4, he says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. I found of thy children walking in truth. Now, he doesn't exactly say all of them are walking in truth, but he says, I found of thy children. The implication is that maybe some of them that weren't, or maybe some of them that were somehow falling behind in walking in that truth. Again, I think it's very difficult. We have children and we want them to walk in the truth. And we may say that there is some of our children are walking in the truth. But maybe there is a sense that you realize that maybe one of your children isn't walking in the truth, and that you would love to encourage them more to walk in the truth. And maybe your heart is even burdened much because maybe one of your children isn't walking in the truth. But John says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children. As if to say, I found some of your children walking in the truth. As we have received a commandment from the Father. And so we find that the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ is not only that we walk in the truth, but that we love one another. And we truly love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And this commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. This endearing commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples was for them to have that kind of love unto one another, and that they might walk in the truth. And verse 5, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. That we love one another. And so, perhaps we're reminded of John 13:34, and other like passages concerning that we are to love one another. How are Christians known but by the love that they show one to another? Some of the most important things that we can do is to emulate this love of God unto others. This love of God. And we need to show that love. And so this new law of Christ is the divine love as accomplished or manifest in the renewed heart by the Holy Spirit of God. It is that spirit of love that we have one to another because of the love of God which is shed abroad in our hearts. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. But He would have us to love one another. And so John goes into this exhortation, if you will. He rejoices that some of her children are walking in the truth, and he exhorts them to continue in that love. In verse 6, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. And so from the very first that Jesus taught his commandments, he taught them to walk in love one toward another. We remember the very incident that he gave concerning girding a certain towel and taking a basin in the upper room and washing the disciples' feet and teaching them what servanthood was all about. And then he told them that they should be servants one of another, that they should love one another. When you read through John chapter 15, we find that there is a very strong impression that even as he sacrificed his life and gave it for others, so also we should give ourselves up as a sacrifice and a love for others. And of course, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, speaking of that living sacrifice that we are to have and do one toward another in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this pathway of truth is one that needs to be walked, and he wanted to encourage the elect lady and her children to be faithful in that. Thirdly, John warns them against deceivers, that they may continue and abide in the doctrines of Christ, in verse 7 through 9. And it points out the mark of the deceivers. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ cometh in the flesh. And so, first of all, they do not confess that in the incarnate Christ. We know the incarnation is very important. That Christ came into the world in a human flesh, and he is the anointed Son of God, and that he came from the Father. And we find that this incarnation of the Son of God is foundational to our understanding of salvation through Christ. Because if he were not the Son of God, then he would be the same as you and I. He could not die for our sins. But being the Son of God, we find that he came into the world, the Son of God, bearing about in his body those sufferings for us, that he might bear the sins of the world and make full atonement for our sins. For he says, for many deceivers are entered into the world, and those deceivers do not confess that Jesus is the Christ, and that he came in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So if anybody will not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then they are an antichrist. They stand against Christ. Look to yourselves, verse 8, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. When we take some personal inventory or spiritual inventory of our lives, this we ought to do, that we are maintaining the truth, the unadulterated truth of the Word of God in our lives, that we are living out the truth of the Word of God. We believe that Christ is the Son of God, the Savior of sinners. We believe that he is the only way to God the Father. We believe that his atonement is that atonement which was made for our sins according to the scriptures. And the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ according to the scriptures. And so, whether we talk about heaven or hell, or all that is in between, we speak of the truth that is in Jesus Christ. And so, he says, look to yourselves, that ye lose not those things which we have wrought, that you lose them not, but that we receive a full reward. And so at the end of our lives, we want to have a full reward for those things which we have continued in concerning Christ. That we have become overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, as we read in the book of Revelation. And that we are faithful unto the end. And so we have persevered in faith. Verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. And so this truth, the doctrine of Christ, you see, we must continue in it. And John encourages the elect lady and her children to abide in that truth, to mark out those who are deceivers, to continue in that truth and in the doctrine of Christ. For any who do not are not of God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And of course, Jesus said, if you know not the Father, it is because you know not me. We must know Jesus Christ to know the Father. He came as that mediator between God and man, that we may know the Father and have access unto the Father. And so John warns them against deceivers, that they may continue and abide in the doctrines of Christ. In verses 10 and 11, John cautions them not to bid any Godspeed in any way to those who do not preach the true doctrines. In verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. It is like saying you agree with that person if you bid them Godspeed. And so we find that this elect lady and her children were being encouraged not to give in to the Gnostic heresy of the day or any other heresies that might have pervaded. And, of course, by way of application in our own lives, we should be careful not to give in to any heresies that are being taught that refute the incarnation of Christ or of the doctrines of Christ. We should not bid them Godspeed. We should not add God's blessing to anything they say, but rather we should ask them to depart and not take part of their evil deed. And so if any come unto you and bring not this doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, receive him not into your house. And of course, there are many who come in the name of Christ, but you have to know what they believe about Christ. Are they preaching the true Christ? Are they preaching the true gospel? Are they true preaching the true death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ? That Christ is the Son of God, and that he came to save sinners. You see, there are many who preach another gospel. Sometimes people think we're very unkind, that we're somehow too strict or narrow-minded because we we make our reception of people upon this subject very limited only to those who preach the truth of the Word of God. But in truth, it is our responsibility to do it. We must not bid others Godspeed who do not preach of the true and living Christ, the one who has died for our sins, and the one who was resurrected, and the one who was coming again. And then lastly, of course, at the end of the chapter here, just kind of quickly going through this chapter, we find that John closes with a personal note to the family, for he would desire to visit them and speak with them more personally. And so at the end he says, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. Well, it isn't until you come to able to sit down with somebody and talk to them face to face that you're really able to communicate in a personal level, is it? I mean, it's nice to write someone, but you can't say everything in a letter. But if you come and visit, if you just come and visit and sit down, we'll have a little something to eat together. We'll start to talk about the things of the Lord and share those things that are important to us about the Lord. The blessings that you have received in Christ, the blessings I have received in Christ, those things that you are studying in the Scriptures and that you've learned, and those things which have been a blessing unto you, and that you begin to talk about the doctrines of the Lord, the teachings of Christ. And you begin to share those things. And how much more full and meaningful that kind of conversation is. To sit down together and to talk with someone about the truths of the Word of God, about the doctrines of our blessed Savior, about the Lord and His love for us, and of His grace and mercy and truth, even as he mentions here in verse 3. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. You see how complete that statement is, but yet how full it is of more things that can be spoken of. And so John closes with this personal note to the family, for he really desired to come and to talk with them more personally. And then he says, the children of the elect lady, elect sister, greet thee, amen. And so this very brief epistle has within it a mother, a matron, and her children, and John's concern for them, his love for them, his desire to encourage them and to remind them of the truth, his desire to caution them that they remain truth and remain in the truth and walk in the truth, and they do not become deceived by antichrist or those who teach other than the truth about Christ. And he encourages them in the very Word of God, in the truth. And so it is, though it is a short epistle, it is one which is very dear to the truth of the doctrines of Christ and of the fellowship that we have in Christ based upon those doctrines. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Loving Father, we thank you for your word to us. Thank you for these thoughts, and that you would encourage us in them, that we may hold the truth of the Word of God very dear, that we may hold the doctrines of the Word of God very dear to our hearts, that we may desire and want to walk in the truth of the Word of God, and that we may hold the truth dear in that we would not give way to others who preach a different Christ or different doctrines other than the truth of the Word of God, and that we would maintain our faith and the truth which is in Christ Jesus. And so also then maintain our Christian living and honor God with our lives. We thank you for mothers today, Lord. Thank you for godly mothers who love you, that love their children, and that continue to impress upon their children the truth of the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.